From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, what is going on, beautiful people? Welcome to another fantastic edition of Current Sports. I am the captain of this ship, Al Martin. We have a fantastic show in store for you in just a moment. We'll be talking with Joe Rexrode. That's right, Free Press sports writer, MSU beat coverage guy. Yeah, he does it all, folks. Joe Rexrode, he's fantastic. He'll be joining me to talk all things MSU football as we, still talk about that MSU and Oregon game and what it means for Michigan State's chances in that four-team playoff. We'll also dive into, of course, the whole Ray Rice discussion that we embarked on yesterday. Talk a little bit about Penn State and their bowl ban being lifted and scholarships being reinstated. And also so much more, folks. How about the Lions and Tigers? Big wins for them yesterday downtown Detroit yesterday. Oh, great night if you're a Detroit sports fan. All of that and so much more. But hey, as custom here on the show, here's Alex Schar with your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners.
Good afternoon and happy Tuesday. I'm Alex Sharg and these are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners for Tuesday, September 9th. The Detroit Lions started off their season the right way on Monday Night Football. Matthew Stafford threw two early touchdown passes to Calvin Johnson, and Detroit beat the New York Giants 35-14 last night. The Lions intercepted Eli Manning twice in their first Monday Night opener since 1971. Stafford went 22 of 32 for 346 yards, and Johnson had seven catches for 164 yards. Calvin Johnson also tied Herman Moore's team record with his 107th straight game with a catch. Coach Jim Caldwell gets the win in his regular season debut as Lions head coach. The Arizona Cardinals were the second game on Monday Night Football, topping the San Diego Chargers 18-17. A day after a new video surfaced showing Ray Rice hitting his then-fiancé in the face in a hotel elevator, the Baltimore Ravens have officially released the running back and the National Football League has suspended Rice indefinitely. Janae Rice went on to defend her husband and criticized the media, saying, quote, "To take something away from me, the man I love that he has worked for, his blank for, his whole life, just to regain his ratings is horrific. This is our life. What don't you all get? If your intentions were to hurt us, embarrass us, make us feel alone, take all happiness away, you've succeeded on so many levels. Just know we will continue to grow and show the world what real love is. Ravens Nation, we love you," end quote. In Tigers news, Torrey Hunter had two of his three hits in a six-run third inning, and Detroit beat Kansas City 9-5 Monday to move within a game atop the American League Central. Justin Verlander allowed four runs and six hits in seven innings, walking one and striking out four for Detroit. The Tigers also move into a tie with Seattle for the second AL wildcard spot. Tonight's starters are Jason Vargas for the Royals and Max Scherzer for the Tigers. Scherzer is 9-5 in his career against Kansas City. The win last night was also the 9,000th win in franchise history. Wow. As expected, Detroit Piston forward Greg Monroe signed the Detroit Pistons' one-year qualifying offer for the 2014-15 season today. Per team policy, terms of the agreement were not disclosed, though the Detroit Free Press reported Friday that it's worth $5.5 million. By signing the offer, Monroe's days with the Pistons appear to be numbered. He has gambled millions in guaranteed salary so that he can become an unrestricted free agent next July. In other Pistons news, the Pistons have hired ex-NBA forward Pat Garrity as the new director of strategic planning, league sources told Yahoo Sports. Garrity played 10 years in the NBA, including 9 with the Orlando Magic, and after two torn ACL injuries, he retired after Van Gundy's first season with the Magic in 2008. Garrity also was a high-ranking officer in the National Basketball Players Association for 8 years. Marvin Bad News Barnes, who led Providence to the Final Four in 1973 and starred in the Old American Basketball Association, has passed away. The 6'9 forward was an All-American in college and the second overall pick of the 1974 draft behind only UCLA's Bill Walton. He led the Providence Friars to an NCAA semifinal with a 28-4 record in 1972-73. He then played for rival ABA, where he was Rookie of the Year in 1975. Barnes reportedly died at a home in Providence. The cause of death was not known, but Barnes has battled drug addiction for years. The five-star high-profile Jalen Brunson, a point guard in the 2015 class out of Illinois, has eliminated Michigan State from his list of contenders of where he will attend college. His father is former NBA player Rick Brunson. He averaged more than 26 points per game last year and scored 56 points in a state semifinal loss to Chicago Whitney Young. He will choose between Illinois and Villanova at 5 p.m. tomorrow. And finally, in some NCAA news, Penn State University has their bowl ban officially dismissed by the NCAA. It begins to take place next year. They will officially be eligible for a bowl game this season, and its 85 yearly scholarships will be officially restored next year. The ban was in place to affect the university for two more years after this season. And those are your current sports quick hit headliners for this Tuesday, September 9th. Time to send it back to Al to start the show with all of the news regarding sports. Lines are now open.
All right. Thanks a lot, Alex. Appreciate that. Again, folks, our phone lines are now open. They will be open until 2 p.m. You know that number, 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Pick up that phone and talk about anything that is on your sports noggin. And before we dive into the show, I have to remind you all that, hey, current sports TV tapes tomorrow. Yes, these days fly by when you're having fun, folks. Wednesday evening, we switch it from Wednesday mornings from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. 10 a.m. was sort of our summertime for you guys to come out and enjoy the episode. But now the school is back in action and East Lansing is booming. We've decided to move it to 6 p.m. So after work, you can come on out to the WKAR-TV studios right on the first floor of the Communication Arts and Sciences building and enjoy current sports TV. Our taping again tomorrow night at 6 p.m. Live studio audience. My guest for tomorrow's show will be Marcel Carruthers, who is the head football coach of the Lansing Everett Vikings. Always a good time to sit down with Marcel to talk about a new season and how his team is progressing. Now that we embark on, I can't believe it, already week three of the high school football season this week. Marcel is one of the first coaches that I started covering when I first got an internship here at in Mid-Michigan for Channel 6 News. Great, great guy with a fantastic team. The Vikings, they bring it each and every year. So looking forward to that. And you can also, get to see so many other feature stories that will be presented on tomorrow's current sports TV. And again, if you can't make the taping, again, each and every Thursday night at 10 p.m., the TV show airs. And you can catch every episode that we have done in current sports TV history by simply going to video.wkar.org. But you'll also get to see post-game coverage from, of course, the MSU and Oregon game. You'll get to see me also yesterday right after the radio show yesterday. I went over to Spartan Performance, which, of course, many of you know Dr. Joey Eisenman, who is the director of Spartan Performance, formerly known as Snap Fitness, if Spartan Performance doesn't ring a bell for you guys. But it's a newly renovated area where they actually bring in high school athletes who want to become better in their sport physically. You know, if it works on their the physical aspect, the agility aspect, even the nutrition and mental aspect of sports. So you kind of get a Division I type of training at the high school level through Spartan Performance. So I thought it was really cool. We brought the feature to the radio show and the TV show, but Dr. Joey Eisenman thought it would be kind of cool to put me through their one-hour training test. So I went out there after the radio show from about 3 p.m. to 4 p.m., went out there in my shorts and my T-shirt, and they put me on the high-speed treadmill, ran about 13 miles per hour. The treadmill goes up to 30 miles per hour. I mean, it's unbelievable. I almost died, folks. It was, I tell you what, I'm still feeling the pain today as we speak, okay? So you'll get to see that feature. It's a pretty comical one. You'll get to see that on this week's Current Sports TV. It was a great time. And thanks to Dr. Joey Eisenman for inviting me out there. All right, folks. Well, again, a fantastic show in store for you. In just a second, I'll be chatting with Joe Rexroad, who is the Michigan State beat writer for the Detroit Free Press. He's going to break all things MSU football down for us. He was actually in Eugene, Oregon on Saturday to witness that really just demise of MSU in the late quarters of that game. He chatted with the players afterwards. He had firsthand coverage of what actually went down in Oregon. So we'll pick his brain in just a sec on his thoughts and his outlook now on Michigan State, as, of course, this is the first year of the four-team playoff, folks. If you have any questions for Joe once he gets on the air, you know that number. You can call in and shoot him a question at 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And also later on the hour, we'll, yes, of course, be diving into the whole Ray Rice situation. It's a story that's really just taking over the sports media world. And not even just the sports media world. I mean, if you looked on, you know, World News Tonight last night, they were talking about it. If you turned on, you know, Entertainment Tonight, Inside Edition, I mean, everybody is talking about the newly released video that shows Ray Rice, now former Baltimore Raven, just straight up cold cocking his girlfriend, fiance, who was Jhené Rice at the time, Jhené Palmer, in the elevator. Really disturbing video, to say the least. Everybody's been blowing up my Twitter to talk about it. I was on the drive with Jack yesterday, as he invited me out to chat about it as well. Everybody's buzzing about it. And we actually had a few callers yesterday, an interesting caller yesterday. Actually, I have to shout out Camilla, who gave her opinion through a women's perspective, which was really, really interesting, a different take on things, as she really talked about how, you know, and you know how, which I see where she's coming from, but I don't agree with fully. I don't agree with really at all, but I see where she's coming from, because if you look in the video, I mean, there were instances of Jhené kind of, you know, hitting, you know, Ray, and you know, I'm looking at a report this morning where it said that there is a clearer video with audio present of Jhené actually spitting in the face of Ray Rice. But at the end of the day, I don't care what circumstance it is, there is not a circumstance where a man should put his hands on a woman ever. Period, point blank, period, folks. She had an interesting take on it. And folks, I want to encourage you all to call in and give your thoughts on it. Again, we'll be talking about that later on in the hour. But hey, you can call in right now and give your thoughts on it if you would like. 517-355-9527. And of course, we had to talk about Penn State. That story broke just as we got off the air after yesterday's radio show. Again, as Alex talked about, Penn State's bowl ban being lifted. They're also the 85 yearly scholarships will be officially restored next year. So right now as we speak, I mean, Penn State, hey, they can play for a bowl bid this season, folks. Interesting stuff there, you know. So we'll dive into that as well, folks. And if you don't happen to be by a phone, you know that you can, be a part of the show via social media by going to facebook.com/currentsports and even tweeting me at Al Martin WKAR. So much to talk about, so little time. Alex Shark, how you doing, my man? You all right?
Pretty good, Al. I'm just still in shock about the Penn State bowl lifting.
And are you?
I just think that there might have been some leniency here just because they're following all the rules and getting everything in order, and they've been good the first 2 years. I don't know. We'll get into it later. But
yeah.
What I understand, speaking of Big Ten, we do have a very important guest who was at that game out in Eugene.
Yeah, I'm excited to get to him. And like you said, we'll be diving into that in just a sec. But from the shock standpoint, Alex, I kind of see where you're coming from. Because the NCAA, when does the NCAA ever go back on anything they enforce as far as punishments are concerned?
And it was at the same day
yeah.
that Ray Rice came out. It's almost like they were trying to slip it under the rocks and make sure no one...
like they planned that?
Yeah.
It was a crazy sports day yesterday, folks. All right. Well, it was a crazy sports day on Saturday as well, as Michigan State, of course, took a trip out to Eugene, Oregon, and left Eugene in Autzen Stadium, not with the result that they would have liked. And we actually have a man on the phone who was actually at that game and actually covered it extensively. Joe Rexroad is the MSU beat writer for the Detroit Free Press, a friend of Current Sports. Joe, how you doing, my man?
I'm good, Al. Thanks for having me on. And, yeah, it's good to be back in the Eastern time zone.
Yes, without a doubt. Was that your first trip to Oregon?
Yeah, it was. I was trying to think if I'd ever like connected in the Portland airport or something like that, but I don't think so. I don't think I'd ever set foot. And very, you know, basically just went to Eugene and drove from Portland to Eugene and back. But really nice state and great campus, stadium, and all that. And it seemed to me like the people were nice and all the fans were getting along really well too.
Nice, good stuff. Yeah, I was actually, on Twitter and just, you know how you go on the Twitter search bar and, you know, type in, you know, Oregon Ducks or something like that. And I just saw a lot of fans, a lot of students who were tweeting about the game, sending pictures. It seemed as though Oregon is a really, really nice city.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the stadium, it's interesting because it's sort of, you've got like the big hills, almost like mountains in the background, really scenic situation there. But, you know, the stadium's only 55,000. And, like, well, kind of a smaller scoreboard. It's sort of in a way, it's sort of old school, but man, they can really make noise in that place.
Oh boy, it was certainly coming through my speakers at home, I tell you that, Joe. So, all right, to dive into this game now, I tell you what, we've been talking about it now for the past, of course, 2 days here, sort of analyzing it and breaking it down, and I want to get your thoughts on it, Joe. Looking at halftime, of course, MSU having the lead, coming out of that locker room to start the second half with a lot of confidence, you know, I had a flashback, you know, looking back at that game to when the sideline reporter talked about how MSU kind of had a celebratory mood coming out of the locker room, really amped, very positive. You know, D'Antonio talked to the sideline reporter whose name is eluding me right now, and she tried to talk to Oregon after they came out of the locker room, and it was completely the opposite. The coach didn't want to talk to the sideline reporter. They were very focused, very silent. I mean, you know, and a lot of Spartan fans felt as though, okay, this could be a turning point for the D'Antonio era. This is what this program has been waiting for. Did you get that vibe as well?
Well, I mean, you know, I guess, you know, it's funny. You think back and you talk about turning points, and you think it was only 7 years ago that the question was, will Michigan State find a way to get to a bowl game, you know? I mean, I think this was certainly an opportunity. I mean, Michigan State had Oregon on the ropes. There's no doubt about it. It's midway third. Michigan State's up 9 with the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Connor Cook has just made a really tough throw to R.J. Shelton to convert a 3rd and 15 from his own 15. It looked like Oregon was just going to have no answer. If Michigan State wins that game, Michigan State right now is ranked in the top 3 and is a favorite to be in that college football playoff. Now, of course, that still means there's a whole bunch of games to play and
right.
A lot of games they could trip up Michigan State, but you know, they'd have a month here of being in the top 5 and I think unprecedented attention for the program, or at least, you know, especially in this modern era, unprecedented. So it was an opportunity lost, no question about it. And, I mean, you look at the way that game flipped. I mean, it really, you know, Connor Cook has Trevon Pendleton. If he just flips that ball out there, he might score and make it 34-18, or at least he gets to about the Oregon 20. I mean, he had no one on that side of the field.
Right.
On the other side, Michigan State had Mariota wrapped up. He makes his own little flip. Unbelievable play. Unbelievable that Michigan State missed him when I watched the replay of that. And then it goes the other way. So, I mean, 21 points in 5 minutes. And so, I mean, I still think, you know, last week was a big thing for D'Antonio's program, the attention that game brought. I still think that anyone who watched that game, there was respect for Michigan State. You know, they got the late garbage touchdown to make the score look worse, and that may end up hurting Michigan State, that giving up that late TD. But I still, you know, if you watch that game, Michigan State looks like a team that can play with anyone.
Yes, they certainly do. And you talk about, you know, how Oregon, it happened so fast. In 5 minutes, they end up with the lead in that second half. How did it turn around so fast? Do you feel as though there maybe have been a sort of sense of complacency from the Spartans, or was it just that Oregon kind of turned things up a notch and MSU couldn't match it?
Yeah, I don't think there was complacency. I mean, they knew where they were playing and who they were playing against. So, I mean, like I said, you know, there was a play that kind of cooked. You know, he made a lot of plays. He missed some plays. He made one bad play early with the pick, but he missed that play. And sometimes it's about that. He misses the play. Mariota makes his play. And you know, I think Mariota is probably the front runner for the Heisman at this point. I think he should be. And, you know, so then it's just, you know, that stadium. I mean, it was an amazing. You know, it's 11-0 and 18-7 in that game early, and the place was rocking. It's like, oh man, how's Michigan State gonna deal with this? Then boom, Michigan State scores 20 straight. It was like 3 different games, you know, Michigan State dominates, and then, boom, it flips again. So, I mean, really, I think it's basically, you know, obviously the defense had some busts. The last, you know, the next 2 touchdowns after the one with Mariota, those next 2 touchdowns, there were busts, big mistakes in the back end. I don't think that's complacency, but I think that's a defense that's not quite ready for something like this. I think we saw that. This defense is not last year's defense, and it's not ready for this stuff yet.
Right.
And it really needs to make it. And then offensively, I mean, that was what was surprising to me, was that the offense really just disappeared during that stretch.
Certainly. Yeah, and you know what? I was reading, your piece yesterday, you know, kind of recapping that game, and you talk about that defense, and you sort of brought up, you know, whether or not last year's defense, which was, of course, ranked number 1 in the nation, if you take that defense and put that defense in Saturday's game, would there have been a different result? What is your take on that, Joe?
Absolutely. I mean, Now, Oregon's too good, though. I mean, we saw Michigan State against Braxton Miller last year. They gave up 24 points. They didn't shut people out. What that defense would have done last year, they would have given up some big plays. They would have given up points. They would not have had as many busts in terms of communication with the coverages. Look, Marcus Mariota is a great player, but he had three or four passes where his receiver had no one in the screen, right? I mean, there was no one around him. That's a bust. That's
right.
Absolutely. That was what was the greatest thing, in my opinion, about last year's defense, is that they were always sound and always knew what was going on. You still might give up a play. Sometimes the other guy just beats you downfield or there's a great pass or whatever, but they did not have those huge mistakes that lead to wide open plays downfield. And with Denard on one side and with Lewis in the back end and all those, they would have, I'm not saying Michigan State would have won the game, but I think that defense would have been able to hold that offense under 30 or around 30, and that would have meant, a game going right down to the end.
Yeah, that is certainly true, Joe. Looking at, just the defense of last year. I mean, like you said, they were so clean, crisp. You never saw any unforced errors from them without a doubt. Joe Rexroth, MSU beat writer for the Detroit Free Press. Joe, we have a caller right now who wants to fire a question at you. This is Tom on line one. Tom, how you doing, and what's your question?
Hey, Al, I'm doing great. Hey, Joe, I think you just touched on it a little bit, but one of my observations from watching the game was our first down play calling. I thought Oregon, kind of put a blueprint out there. They really committed on first down to stopping the run against us. And I would just be very curious to know exactly what our first down stats look like. I know in the first half, we actually threw the ball a couple times and had great success on first down. But after halftime, we came out, and I don't know, I always think it's just stubbornness on our part, but it looked like we were going to prove a point that we were going to run the ball on first down, and it just kept putting us in bad down and distance situations. And I guess my question is, Connor Cook have the ability to check out and go to something different, or do we have to run into 8-9-man boxes all the time? I'll let you go and catch you on the radio.
Yeah, well, no, that's a great question, Tom. Absolutely. Right after the game, there was some talk. It was like, what you're trying to figure out, when you're in the middle of covering a game, you're going so fast, right? Everything. It's like, okay, so what happened? Did they get too conservative there? I thought that there was one drive where it was throw, 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 and punt. But I hear you. I think Oregon absolutely went heavy with the run blitzes. And like you said, they were not going to let, Michigan State run the ball anymore. But the thing that's weird about that is, Michigan State said they also went to cover two. So, cover two, that means those two safeties are back. So that means, in theory, that you should be able to run the ball. And if they're going to run blitz into cover two, there should be a whole lot of, real estate in the middle of the field open to throw to. They had some chances. Connor Cook is just a little bit long on a pass to Josiah Price on the sideline. Then he's a little bit long on a little seam pass to him too, as they're trying to come back in that second half. I agree. I'm looking at these drives right now. Nick Hill gets stacked up for no gain on the first down. Next drive, Langford goes for one. And then the next drive, now they're down, and then that's when they ran the shelter in reverse. But I think those two straight possessions, you're right, they said, let's run it. Oregon said, we're going to just completely come after them on a run blitz. And that probably is a spot where Connor Cook should check out of the play. He should have that freedom, absolutely. I will say, being there, it was very loud. And, I could tell that the offense was, I think at times, maybe trying to keep things simple just because they were worried about, false starts and things like that. But I think there probably were some times when he should have got them into better plays.
And that's what I was wondering, Joe, because, it seemed like it was very loud there. So you think that noise definitely contributed to, MSU, just like you said, just kind of keeping it simple, nothing too fancy, because communication is so easily construed during those moments where you just can't simply hear.
Yeah, for sure. But, and that's the thing. I think if you can get to the line quickly enough, everybody has hand signals and things like that. In the shotgun, and you should be able to change things. A lot of times too, they were coming to the line, and it seems like they were taking, having some extra time getting the play in, and they would come to the line with really a short period of time. There were definitely some times I would say Connor Cook simply had to just call for the snap. And that's not ideal, obviously, if you're, you know, hoping to – if you got a quarterback you feel comfortable making checks at the line, you want to give him enough time to be able to do that.
Certainly. Folks, if you want to call in just like Tom did and fire a question at Joe Rexroad, MSU beat writer for the Detroit Free Press, you can do so by picking up that phone and dialing 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Well, looking at that whole day, Joe, I tell you what, the Big Ten, it was a tough day. It was a tough day across the board for the conference. You had Ohio State, of course, falling to Virginia Tech. Nebraska, you know, having to squeak out a close one to McNeese State. Michigan getting just flopped on by Notre Dame. I mean, how bad, to put it in perspective, how bad was the damage done to the Big Ten on Saturday in terms of now, of course, that four-team playoff?
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, the damage done to Michigan State was done elsewhere. Like I said, I think that late TD, you know, this was such a big game, you would think that the committee would have full understanding of what happened in this particular game. If it comes to that at the end of the year and they're comparing Michigan State to some other one-loss teams. But, yeah, the Big Ten, I mean, it was one of the worst days I can remember. There was a really bad day, actually the day Michigan State got killed by Alabama in the bowl game, the Capital One Bowl, and I believe the Big Ten lost all five of its bowl games that day.
Oh, man.
So that was a brutal day. But, you know, there's been a few of them in the last few years. You know, I mean, I think sometimes people overblow how bad the Big Ten is. My coworker Drew Sharp, one of them, and, you know, we have fun with that.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I mean, you look around now after this weekend, I think, you know, Drew sounds mild compared to some people out there.
Right. So, and that's saying a lot. And that's saying a lot, Joe.
That is saying a lot, exactly. But, yeah, it's just, I mean, it's, you know, Michigan, you know, Ohio State losing home. Michigan, like you said, Nebraska squeaks out. I mean, Northwestern looks awful right now. Iowa lucked out. It's amazing, really. And it's just not going to help. I mean, this conference, to get into that playoff now, obviously, you have to have, and, you know, who knows, a team like Iowa could go undefeated and win the Big Ten title game and then would have a heck of a case as an undefeated team. But if you think that Michigan State, Ohio State, and Wisconsin are your candidates. Now they all have a loss. I think Michigan State certainly has the best loss and certainly has the best non-conference game. And that's one thing they'll say at the end is if strength of schedule matters, if Michigan State's the champion, championships are supposed to be taken more into account. Strength of schedule is supposed to be taken more into account.
Mm-hmm.
If Oregon runs the table and is a top three team, the Michigan State say, look, who else scheduled a team like we did and went to a team like that on the road? No one.
Right.
And so it'll be a compelling case, but it's still, I mean, at this point, it's so far away. Can Michigan State win out? And Michigan State's going to have somebody lose. I mean, Florida State, will they lose? Oklahoma? Those two teams have easy schedules. You know the SEC's going to get someone in. And presumably the Pac-12, you know, if Oregon does win out, they're in. So, you know, I mean, Michigan State's going to need help. The Big Ten's going to need help. I mean, I don't think it looks good at all right now. But look, at some point, it is what it is, right? I mean, it's just Michigan goes out and plays like that. That's embarrassing.
Yeah, that is very, very true, Joe. And like you said, for Spartan fans out there, I mean, hey, you got to be, you know, having your pom-poms up each and every Saturday now for Oregon to you know, add some credibility to that schedule now. So certainly agree with you on that. All right, Joe, before I let you get out of here, of course, there are two hot-button stories that we're going to be talking about later on in the hour. First one, I just want to get your thoughts on it, Joe, when you saw the video, first off, of course, of Ray Rice, the newly released video of TMZ yesterday morning of him actually, you know, showing that, you know, he delivered a left cross to his then fiance, Janae Palmer, who is now Janae Rice, of course. What were your thoughts when you first saw that video, and what do you think the NFL, is going to do and should do in this situation?
Well, first of all, I mean, I was as shocked and appalled as anyone who saw it. But I just have to try to figure out what did we think happened. You know, I understand that the visual brings it home for people, but didn't we already know he hit her? And so I think from the start, this was completely botched by the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very difficult for me to believe that the NFL and that the Baltimore Ravens could not get their hands on this video. Very difficult for me to believe. I cannot buy that at all.
Same here.
So
right.
To me, this looks like a reactionary situation. More like, oh, now the public has seen it, well, then we have to do this, more than the way they're framing it, which is, after we saw it, we knew we had to do something. I can't, it's hard for me to believe that. And so I think this is really bad news for Roger Goodell, and I think he is justifiably going to be under a lot of fire for this. And, you know, I mean, and then and Jenna Rice puts out her statement on Instagram today, and I mean, it really is, you feel so bad for her in a number of different ways, on a number of levels, but now this has become, after all this, and they've been through counseling, and now this is everywhere. Everyone is seeing this. I mean, they are still together. They're trying to go through counseling. This is all over the place. And he, of course, you know, is out of the NFL, as he should be. But it's just, I mean, that's the main thing. I feel terrible for her
right.
more than anything. It's a nightmare.
Yeah, reading that statement, you definitely had to feel for folks. Again, if you want to weigh in on the Ray Rice discussion, 517-355-9527. We'll be getting to that in just a second. Of course, Joe, and finally, in some NCAA news, Penn State University, they had their bowl ban officially dismissed by the NCAA. And also, Penn State, they will be officially eligible for a bowl game this season, and its 85 yearly scholarships will be restored next year. Were you shocked about that story as well, Joe?
Well, I agree that it's kind of weird, and it's interesting timing they sneak that in. I mean, the Big Ten, I think Jim Delaney's right. Once the NCAA made its change, I think it totally made sense for the Big Ten to let Penn State play in the Big Ten title game this year. I mean, you know, if they're eligible for the postseason on the NCAA level, then I think that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have a different take on this whole thing than a lot of people, and I wrote about this, you know, a couple of years ago when this was all going on. I've never thought football sanctions should have been a part of this. Well, to me, in my opinion, it trivializes the horrific and disgusting nature of what went on at Penn State, and this is about law enforcement prison. That's what I think.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I know a lot of people say, well, you know, Penn State allowed this to go on, so Penn State must pay. But to me, it's just way more serious than football sanctions, and I don't think penalizing the current people who had nothing to do with this does anything for anyone. So, I mean, I guess it's good that they don't have it, but I mean, they already trivialized it by making this a football thing. So, you know, it's kind of weird. And it's interesting, you know, if you want to look at it from the football perspective, you know, I mean, things have already been going pretty well for Penn State. This projected complete collapse of the program already was kind of not looking like it was happening. And now, of course, I think Penn State will be back very quickly. But, yeah, from day one on this, I think people need to be in prison for this and leave it at that.
Yes, certainly. It certainly stems beyond the gridiron, without a doubt, Joe. All right. Well, Joe Rexrow, MSU beat writer for the Detroit Free Press. Hey, Joe, thanks a lot for joining me today, my man.
Okay, Al, thanks for having me, but I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right, folks. Well, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll talk about a big night in downtown Detroit. I'm sure many of you were dancing and partying after both of those games, folks. We'll dive into the Lions and Tigers and so much more. Don't touch that dial. Current Sports returns in just a sec.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. With a single line in one of his pieces, New York Times theater critic Ben Brantley can make or break a multi-million dollar production.
I think I could break a small show, but what's the pleasure in that? I think if it stars Daniel Craig, I could say that, you know, you'll go blind from seeing this and it wouldn't make a bit of difference.
Ben Brantley, next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
That's Here and Now, coming up at 2 o'clock.
7 days a week, Current State brings you the issues, personalities, and events making the heart of mid-Michigan beat.
To be able to start a farmer's market takes time and energy, people power, and planning.
We change the notes, or we change the phrasing, or we change something for what might happen, and you can't really predict, and that's the beauty of jazz.
We are reinventing city government as we go along. It's like redesigning the airplane while in flight.
Current State, weekdays at 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. on 90.5 WKAR.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Tuesday. Top 40 Tuesday is what the man behind the glass, Alex Shark, likes to call it. Alex, what does Top 40 Tuesday mean for those who don't know?
Top 40 Tuesday, every Tuesday on the show we play just some top music, some hit music going on. If you're in Lansing, that's 97.5 type of music. Wherever you are, we will deliver you some of the latest hits on the Billboard Top 40, Top 100, you name it.
So. You know, I was listening to the tune before we hit the first break. That's Snoop Dogg and Charlie Murphy and Justin Timberlake.
That's a classic, man. That's
from
science.
Back in the day. They're still on the top 40 list?
No. I mean, you know, we do just
oh, we go back in the
variety,
day sometimes, too.
You know,
okay, okay. I love
any
joint.
Kind of Billboard, whether it's from 2010, okay. 2004, any kind of Billboard.
Nice.
Not specifically the year, just top music that hit the Billboard.
Man, I used to love that song. Man, that's a hot song. Snoop, Charlie, and Uncle Charlie is what they call him, and Justin Timberlake. Good stuff there. All right. Well, Alex, I tell you what, man, what a great night. It was for Detroit sports fans, downtown Detroit. You had the Tigers, you know, playing in the afternoon, as well as the Detroit Lions, both getting wins. Well, I guess we can start with the Lions because, I mean, that's what everybody's talking about, the Lions on the primetime stage of Monday Night Football to start their season against the New York Giants. It was a complete romping. I tell you what, the Lions, they did whatever they wanted, however they want it in this game. How about Matthew Stafford and Megatron? Matthew Stafford, he goes 22 of 32 for 346 yards. Megatron, I tell you what, I mean, it doesn't matter if you triple team him, triple double team him, he's going to find a way to at least get his paws on that ball. He was unbelievable. I was very, very impressed overall with the way the Lions played. And I tell you what, if Matthew Stafford can come out and produce like this, each and every game. Now, I want to say, you know, they're playing the New York Giants. This is a team who I wasn't big on last year. They had an up-and-down roller coaster type of season last year. I think that will continue this year. The defense isn't that great. But, man, oh, man, you got to be encouraged just at how Matthew Stafford read the entire field that entire game. Because I was really paying attention to how those passes were coming out, who they were to, and if those windows were too tight for him to try to make throws. He didn't force a lot of stuff, something that we saw during the brink of last year. I thought Matthew Stafford was spectacular.
Spectacular. And what I was most surprised about was in the preseason with the Lions, you didn't see the ball thrown to Calvin Johnson very much. And I kept harping on that all last week, the week before that. You remember, Al, I kept saying, I'm curious to see what the Bills, what the Jaguars are going to throw at Calvin that week. And the reason I say that is, with the Giants covering Calvin last night, they were only split milliseconds and seconds that he was open. I mean, those big plays that he had, Stafford had 10, 15 seconds in the pocket, was rolling out, found him to the second before he even hit the route. I mean, this was before he was 15 yards downfield. Stafford already had the ball thrown to Calvin. And the reason those big plays happened was just because they were gelling. They had that good chemistry together. And I was surprised because that preseason, we didn't see a lot of that, and I was most worried about that with all the different coverages teams will be throwing at him this year, if that chemistry would be so on par that at every specific second, whether, you know, he's rolling out, he just breaks off from his route, from like a cross route, and then he just runs upfield.
Right.
The first or second step he runs upfield after his route, Stafford already releases the ball, and that was key for all of their big plays.
Yeah, you know what? I thought the overall, I thought the offensive line could have played a little bit better. I was really looking to see if guys like Joik Bell and Reggie Bush could really get going. I mean, if you look at it,
you don't think they had their moments?
They had their moments. But the thing was, they had their moments in the red zone. There were very few moments where, you know, Joik Bell or Reggie Bush were able to break out for a huge run in that. And a lot of it had to do with that offensive line. The offensive line pass coverage could have been better. Blocking for the rush, I should say, could have been better. Their pass coverage was outstanding. I mean, like you said, they gave Matthew Stafford a lot of time to sit in that pocket and just pick and choose where he wanted to go within that secondary. And if you remember, though, those first two touchdown passes to Calvin Johnson, those were just breakdown in coverages by the New York Giants defense. Because if you look at that, especially that first one, I mean, Calvin Johnson just gets wide open after a play breaks down for the Giants. Wide open. He could have walked in the end zone. And the second play was much the same. It was a great catch by Calvin, though. But, you know, there were a few breakdowns that Matthew Stafford, I got to give him credit, because he realized those breakdowns and went to Calvin Johnson. And they weren't forced. That was big for me. As far as that Lions defense, I mean, hey, that's still a question mark for me. That secondary is the big thing that I'm harping on this year, whether or not how consistent they will be. Last night, I thought that Darius Slay, he was decent. He had his moments. But this is the thing about the Lions. If anything, they had a great day yesterday. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer here. But you got to cut down those penalties. It's the same thing. I mean, I can't remember how many penalties he had yesterday that were just unforced, just ridiculous, idiotic penalties. The same thing that we saw last year. I mean, that comes down to discipline for me. I mean, if you look at that first scoring drive, well, the first time that the Giants scored, I mean, the Lions gave that up. I mean, it was a pass interference call. It was a holding call that put them into the red zone, and they just basically walked in the end zone after that. Those little things against the elite in the NFL cannot happen. I'm looking forward to those improving. Overall, though, hey, and also in that defense, to harp on some positive things for that defense, DeAndre Levy, he's a man. DeAndre Levy was the best defensive player out there last night. He was unbelievable. I mean, what, 10 tackles? He had one interception. He's a beast. I mean, it seems as though he hasn't missed a step from where he was last year. He came in that game with something to prove. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, he was the X factor. Now, with your first 2 points, first with the offensive line, you have to put an asterisk next to that because Pierre Paul was out. Their front two on the nose tackles, you got Jonathan Hankins, the Buckeye, and Colin, who is both Michigan products. Jonathan Hankins originally from Michigan. So without Pierre Paul, you suspected, okay, here's the Lions' chance. You know, he goes out with the injury. He leaves the game. Okay, well, here's the Lions' chance where they can, you know, really make some noise and start pushing the ball. But you got to give credit to the front four from the Giants and also their linebackers for stopping the run.
Yeah, they totally should. If you look at
on the pass side of things, yeah, they couldn't cover anyone.
But, no, exactly.
But
right.
For the running side, they did a pretty good job.
They did an outstanding job. If you look at, though, for the running backs, the Lions average just 2.5 yards a carry. Reggie Bush, I mean, if you look at his yards, it came from a 24. A lot of them came from, you know, just being out in seam routes and being out on the flat and catches in that area. He had a 24-yard catch, but was bottled up otherwise. And Joik Bell, he finished with 51 yards on 15 carries. So not a great day for the running backs. If I had to give them a grade, I'd probably a B-, because they handled business when they were in the red zone. A great day overall for them, but harping on the little things. When you start to play the big dogs of the NFL, hey, those little things can turn out to be big, glaring areas of need. So, and also, hey, I thought the defensive line. How about the defensive line? I thought they were outstanding. Nick Fairley, he had a sack. He looked great. I thought the pressure that they put on Eli Manning, I mean, every time I looked up from my laptop from tweeting, it seemed as though Eli Manning was eating grass. So,
yeah, definitely
hats off to them.
Yeah, definitely altering his pass. And the biggest thing was you didn't see any stupid penalties from the Dominican Sioux. You didn't see any late hits or stomps or any of that garbage that we saw all last year.
Some antics. Only game one, though. It's still early.
But, you know, under the lights, prime time, you think maybe he's getting the excitement in him. You know, he might have a stop here or there. But
yeah.
So that was nice to see.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Sue because I don't know if you heard the news. You hear the news this morning?
Yeah.
He signed with Rock Nation, Jay-Z. You know, it's the Rock, baby. He's with Jay-Z now. I tell you what, Jay-Z is snagging some pretty big, high, prolific
athletes. Maybe they were waiting after that game to make sure he kind of.
I don't. Yeah, maybe
had his cool, making sure he was composed before he had the Rock Nation brand.
I tell you what, man, Rock Nation is blowing up. Jay-Z, yeah. He is. That's a smart brother right there, man. I tell you. Okay, well, how about the Tigers now? Let's transition to the Tigers again, folks. If you want to call in on anything, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Detroit and Kansas City. This is a big series, seeing as though these are the top two teams in the American League Central. Detroit playing from behind, trying to keep their playoff lives alive. And I tell you what, you know, this was a game. I think this, and even though this is a series, they still got two more games left to play in this series. But this was a series, you know, game one in Comerica Park, where the Tigers wanted to send a message that, okay, Kansas City, they may be atop the AL Central, but overall, we are the better team. And I think they showed that. I thought Justin Verlander, I mean, I think he had a solid outing, you know, after, of course, that, you know, just terrible start that he had in the previous game, in which we really just kind of bashed JV here on the show. But overall, this is the type of game the Tigers needed. The bats awaken, you know, right when they needed to. And, you know, all eyes are on Detroit right now. All eyes are on Detroit and Kansas City right now to see who comes out here. The target is on Detroit Tigers' back, and they responded when they needed to. It was very encouraging. And, and I really hope that, you know, the Tigers right now, this will kind of be a momentum builder for them to close out the season the right way and to solidify that playoff spot. Now, again, how many times have we come here where the Tigers have had a great game and praised them? Then the next 3 or 4 days, we're completely saying, okay, where did that go? Consistency
right.
is the thing for the Tigers. This is all fine and dandy. This is a great win for them. But can you duplicate that effort throughout, you know, not even just this series, but series here on out leading up to October?
Yeah, Mark D'Antonio says it. It starts here. Can the Tigers really capitalize on their momentum and keep winning? And that's the thing. You're not going to expect Avila and Castellanos and some of these guys that hit like they did, and Kelly, those guys aren't going to hit as well as they did every single game. So, yeah, they did it. They made it count. But at the same time, you're never going to have a 6-run inning very often, especially with the pitching in the American League. I mean, that's very rare. So overall, what I was most impressed with, and we really haven't talked too much about this, was Miguel Cabrera. His average is way up ever since he took that rest last week. Even limping, I mean, him being more hurt with his ankle spurs, he's playing better than he did before that. So, I mean,
yeah.
Him limping more, he's hitting the ball even further. So maybe that's DHing more, you know, not really
right.
playing first as much. I don't know, but props to Miguel Cabrera. I mean, this is just showing. I mean, you don't see many great hitters show how they can hit hurt.
Miguel Cabrera, I mean, he's just a freak. He's a freak of nature. And the same thing with Megatron. They're both freaks. Detroit, I mean, this city of Detroit and, you know, Michigan in general, I mean, looking at the Lions and the Tigers and looking at two guys like Miguel Cabrera and Calvin Johnson, hey, we are spoiled to be able to watch those two, arguably, especially when they're healthy. Those two are the best at what they do in the entire nation. You know, Miguel Cabrera, arguably the best hitter in the game, and you got Megatron, clearly the best wide receiver in the game. I mean, we are truly spoiled to be able to watch those two on a regular basis, on a weekly basis. So hats off, though. And I was a few of my friends and family members, they were down there at downtown Detroit tailgating and enjoying the atmosphere. Man, it just felt good to see Detroit on that stage. And, you know, not to see, and this is another thing I always say, not to see any nonsense happen, no violence, no shootings, anything like that happen. After the fiasco that took place in downtown Detroit, so that was definitely great to see. All right, folks. Well, again, our phone lines are now open: 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. When we come back, we'll sort of wrap up this whole Ray Rice discussion as well as the Penn State bans lifted. We'll talk about that to wrap up our show. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
On the next Fresh Air, we talk with Bob Gaudio, who played with the Four Seasons and wrote or co-wrote their hits. He's one of the people behind the Broadway musical Jersey Boys. A new anthology collects his songs as performed by the Four Seasons, Frankie Valli, and others. Join us.
That's Fresh Air coming up at 3 o'clock. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Remind you all that Current Sports TV tapes tomorrow evening at 6 p.m. I'll be sitting down with Marcel Carruthers, the head football coach of the Lansing Everett Vikings. He's a great guest, great guy. You don't want to miss that. If you want to be a part of that live studio audience, you can do so, by going to WKR.org and signing up online for free, folks. Okay, well, let's wrap up the show. About 10 minutes left again. You can call that number 517-355-9527 to weigh in on anything that we talk about. We're going to talk about and wrap up our show discussing the two hot-button topics that everyone is talking about in the sports world and beyond. First, of course, Ray Rice. Ray Rice, we discussed in pretty great lengths during yesterday's Current Sports due to the fact that a newly released video by TMZ Sports showed Ray Rice in the physical altercation with his then-fiancée, Janae Palmer, in which he decided to deliver a left cross right to her face, knocking her unconscious. It was a video that went viral, and it had a lot of reaction nationwide. Even President Obama weighed in on this, folks. That's how big this story is. And, you know, many people have been talking about it. The NFL have suspended Ray Rice right now. The Ravens let him go. They released him. It's really a fiasco right now. And, you know, something that really stands out to me in this whole thing, Alex, and really kind of gives a new perspective on things is when you read the quote from his now wife, Janae Rice. And it really kind of just puts things in perspective. For those of you who are just now joining us on the show and didn't get to hear our quick hit headliners, she went on to, Janae Rice went on to defend her husband and criticize the media, saying, quote, "I woke up this morning feeling like I had a horrible nightmare, feeling like I'm mourning the death of my closest friend, but to have to accept the fact that its reality is a nightmare itself. No one knows the pain that the media and unwanted options from the public have caused my family. To make us relive a moment in our lives that we regret every day is a horrible thing. To take something away, from the man I love that he has worked his blank off for all his life just to gain ratings is horrific. This is our life. What don't you all get? If your intentions were to hurt us, embarrass us, make us feel alone, take all happiness away, you've succeeded on so many levels. Just know we will continue to grow and show the world what real love is. Ravens Nation, we love you." End quote. Again, that is a statement directly from Janae Rice, the wife, now wife, then fiance of former Baltimore Ravens running back Ray Rice. Boy, I tell you what, Alex, reading that, I tell you what, I really feel sorry for her. I have to say that because, you know, she really, at the end of the day, is the biggest victim of this whole thing. She now has video released everywhere that everyone is talking about of a domestic abuse situation. I really, 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 really feel for Janae Rice. I want to say that first. But every once in a while, a story like this comes along in sports and beyond it that engages in, I believe, healthy discussion that puts in perspective things that we obviously shouldn't be thinking about. Because domestic violence is something that is so heinous. It happens all the time. I know people who have gone through it. I grew up with people who have gone through it. In my family, it's happened before. It's something that's very sensitive, and it needs to be discussed because it is a big problem. And a situation like this allows us to engage in healthy reform, if you will, to sort of get to the bottom of it and try to alleviate it to a certain degree. So, you know, reading all of this, again, I feel terribly bad. I wish to God this did not have to happen to Janae Rice. But in it, I'm a type of guy, I always look at the glass half full, instead of half empty, and try to bring the positive out of things. And I think the positive out of this, Alex, is that we are talking about the issue of domestic violence and how it is a big problem and how it is a huge, 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 huge problem. And I really feel for those who have gone through it and for those who looked at this story and, you know, and really got emotional because they have gone through it. At the end of the day, as far as what should happen to Ray Rice, will he ever be a running back in the NFL again? I got to be honest with you. Yes, he will be. Ray Rice, this isn't the last we've seen of Ray Rice on the gridiron.
27.
Yeah, exactly. He's young. I understand he made a huge mistake here. Huge, huge mistake. But in the NFL, in any sport, I believe, especially the NFL, talent talks. Talent talks. Ray Rice is a premier back in the league. Many people had him on, you know, I was looking at my league last night. I mean, my friend Carl had him on his fantasy team. Ray Rice has a talent to play the game of football. He made an obvious mistake here, The Ravens had to do something to send a message. And I agree with Joe. The NFL, you can't tell me. You cannot tell me that the NFL did not have the ability to grab that tape and look at it. You can't tell me that. Roger Goodell and the NFL dropped the ball totally on this whole thing. So they have to respond now. I think Ray Rice, you won't see him on the gridiron this year, but you will see him back playing football in the National Football League, without a doubt.
Just to start, and you know, those are great points, did you see any of the interviews with the Baltimore Ravens teammates?
And that's that was another thing I'm going to bring up. You can bring it up. Yep.
Yeah. Well, yep. And you hit the nail on the head with your first point in that the real victim here is his fiance, or then fiance, because Chris Canty, the defensive end from the Ravens, he was almost on the verge of tears in his interview. I don't know if you saw that interview with him.
No, I didn't.
Almost on the verge of tears and saying, you know, friends with both of them. That shouldn't have been showed on national TV. He really felt for the girl, did not make any comment about Ray Rice as a human being, but all he was talking about was how horrible it was to see that on television and for the whole world to see that. And I totally feel him on that. The real victim, to see just the abuse and her literally losing consciousness and everyone seeing, you know, just her defenseless self, is horrific. It's horrific to see. Now, in response to Ray Rice playing again in the NFL, I mean, Michael Vick abused dogs for years, and he still played. There have been players that have been arrested and banned for a year because of PEDs. They still played.
Dare I bring up Mr. Ray Lewis?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
And actually, if you saw the comments today, he's not very
happy. He's trying to separate himself. I'm not, you know, Ray Rice, but hey. Hey, that's a whole nother dialogue there, you know?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, absolutely. He'll get a look. And he's 27 and a running back at 27. Yeah, that for a running back, that is a little older, but he still has a lot of football to play. The fact that, and with your comment about the video being quote-unquote hidden, did you see the quote from Goodell and what they said?
Yeah, they
said that when they had the videos at first, the second video they never received. They only had the first video to work with. I mean, yeah.
Which is garbage.
And we always say garbage. We never really know, and it sounds like garbage.
That is garbage.
But that's the thing is, how would you get the first video in the first place? It's not like Ray Rice had a mafia like what's his name? The guy who got arrested who killed Odin Lloyd.
But this is the thing.
It's not like he had a cover up and hid the video.
But this
cameras.
Is the thing, Alex. If you know a second video is out there, if you know it's out there. Why would you even make a ruling without seeing that video in the first place? Why don't you wait to get the video then?
Right.
You know what I mean? Don't jump the gun on it. If I'm going to suspend somebody for doing something, I want to make sure I get the full story first. The NFL knew that there was a second video out there. They just wanted to act quickly and get this over with, and so the time will pass.
They said, quote unquote, we couldn't get the video.
Exactly.
From who?
Come on. Exactly.
Yeah, get out of here.
If TMZ can get the video, you can get the video,
right.
Okay? Come on. Get out of here with that stuff, man. But, you know, it's really unfortunate, though. And, you know, again, this kind of engages in dialogue. You know, we had an interesting caller who had a different take on it on, you know, Camilla, and she said, females shouldn't, you know, they have to realize that, you know, situations like that, you know, can sort of lead to that type of thing. Hey, there is no situation that a man should ever put his hands on a woman, period. I want to get that out there, folks, and make that clear and known, okay? It is a sad thing, and I definitely feel for Janae Palmer and all that she's going through, and hopefully it wakes up a lot of people. When you talk about the teammates, another point I want to make before we wrap up the show, I was driving around, you know, listening to Sirius XM and ESPN Sports Center in my car, and they were talking about how, you know, Ray Rice, which really, this really rubs me wrong, and really speaks to character for me, is that his teammates asked him what exactly happened in that elevator, and Ray Rice told them and assured them that nothing went down and everything was fine. Basically lied to him, and they feel betrayed as well as they should, period. Point blank, period.
And if you watch a lot of the interviews as well in the locker room, a lot of the players, probably for that reason, they didn't want to comment on Ray's character. I mean, deep down, I'm sure they have their thoughts, but a lot of it wasn't about Ray's character at all. But you got Justin Forsett on the other hand, the backup. I mean, he's in glee right now. He's going to have the starting running back job, getting carries. If you saw his interview, he was excited, honestly.
I tell you, a bittersweet moment for him, I'm sure. All right. Well, we are out of time, folks. Thanks so much to all of you for tuning in to today's Current Sports. Thanks a lot to Joe Rexroad, MSU beat writer for the Detroit Free Press, for joining me on today's show. You have been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing, FM HD3 East Lansing. As always, take care, have a fantastic day, and be easy, people.